grab your lunch, and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist, and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
We celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe today on December 12th. I had the joy once again of celebrating in this basilica, which is loved so much by all Mexicans, all Americans, and children of peace. That was a quote from St. Pope John Paul II at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City on January 23rd, 1999. The Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City is the world's most visited Marian shrine. It even surpasses the number of pilgrims to Vatican City each year. An estimated and historic number of pilgrims, 12.5 million, visited in December 2022 to celebrate her feast day. That was a year ago. Pilgrims travel there to be near the area where Mary appeared to Saint Juan Diego and to venerate his telma, simple quote. It's a cloak, if Toma, which bears her image. The image was miraculously imprinted on his cloak after her apparitions in 1531. The Virgin of Guadalupe asked that a church be built in her honor. When Juan Diego presented the request to the local bishops, his bishop requested a sign. Once again, Mary appeared. She led Juan Diego to the top of a hill where roses were in bloom during the winter. Juan Diego gathered the roses in his cloak and took them to the bishop. When he unfolded his toma, the roses fell to the floor, revealing a beautiful picture of Our Lady on his toma. When news spread of all that had happened, millions quickly converted to the Catholic faith. Even today, nearly 500 years later, the toma, made of woven cactus fibers, shows no signs of deterioration. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." That is from the Gospel of Luke. It is Tuesday, December 12th. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of Epiphany, and I'm reading reflections today from the little blue book that many of us got from church this Advent season. If through an angel I were told what God planned to accomplish through me in the days ahead, I'd probably ask, as Mary did, "How can this be?" Yes, indeed. I've had a whole list of things, past and present, that have raised questions about my suitability. How can this be, given my marriage or former marriage or my health or the consequences of my mistakes or my obligations or the lack of power and influence or my weaknesses? The list goes on. But it's the Lord who works through me. I am not the one who achieves whatever good comes through me. Mary wasn't the one who achieved what God did through her. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary has come upon me. I am given things to accomplish that are part of God's plan, not mine. And that's true. To whom should I speak about this? Well, of course, God. And that's a question for all of us today. Let's reflect on what the Lord is putting on our heart to do that may seem impossible, because we know with God all things are possible. How can this be? What are you calling me to do? And there are so many stories, so many testimonies that we've heard over the years of people who have been called to do something and they couldn't see how they were going to do it, because God never shows us the big picture. He didn't show the full picture to Joseph. Joseph took a leap of faith and just kept following. Mary, you know, followed the Holy Spirit, the will of God, when St. Gabriel, the Archangel Gabriel, came to her. It is our faith that allows us to take that next step when God is calling us to do something. It is the feast day of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Let's ask her for intercessory prayer today on her feast day. For all those who are lacking in faith this Advent season, let's pray that they find true faith in Jesus Christ. And I truly believe in order to change what's going on in the world, and I've been having so many conversations with friends and family about this political climate, the war in the Middle East, this recent invasion of these high-end Michigan homes and homes all across the country being burglarized by a Chilean crime ring. It's been in the news, the paper recently. We're talking about all these crazy things happening. And I truly believe that in order to change what's going on in the world, we have to go to our grassroots efforts. We have to go back to what the disciples did. We have to go speak to people face to face and bring Christ to them, share truth with them. those people who've been canceled out on public platforms, on social media platforms, like my dear friend Adora, who was knocked off of Facebook for her conservative views. I mean, we have to go back. The only way we're going to change what's going on in the world, if we evangelized in person, face-to-face, one-on-one, and maybe small groups, we have to go back to the basics. And the basics is starting with the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Bible. That's the acronym we've heard many people talk about here. Start with the Bible and ask the Lord, where are you calling me? And if the Lord is truly calling you and it seems impossible, he will equip you to do so. He calls, he equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. He will equip you. We have two guests joining us here on Epiphany. Sister Mary Sarah Macht is going to be joining us from Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. Sister Mary Sarah is a board-certified family nurse practitioner. She got her bachelor's degree in nursing from Regis University in Colorado. Following this experience, Sister worked as a nurse at St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa before being signed to work at the infirmary of the Pontifical North American College in Rome, Italy. After completing her master's in nursing in 2014, Sister Mary Sarah joined the team at Sacred Heart Mercy Health Center in Alma, working in administrative and clinical roles from 2014 to 2018. Sister then worked in the urgent care clinics for Warren Clinic, St. Francis Health System in Tulsa, Oklahoma, through the beginning of the COVID pandemic. She has been seeing patients at Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center again since 2020 and recently completed her training in fertility education and medical management. She is currently working to complete a teaching course to be able to help him and understand ovulation as well as a marker of health and to teach fertility awareness. We'll be talking about Sacred Heart Healthcare focused on the family, and I believe they have an expansion, so we'll be talking with her about that today. And then also joining us is Christy Whiting, Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish and Williamston by Lansing. Christy Whiting joined the staff at St. Mary in 2018. Her passion is to introduce people to the Holy Spirit who fills us with God's love and empowers us to bring his life-changing love to those around us. Previously, she co-founded and directed the Upper Room Ministry at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, leading weekly praise and worship events, facilitating classes and other special events, and doing social media outreach. She has also done extensive prayer ministry, taught life and the spirit seminars, traveled on mission trips, and ministered to young adults, college students, and teens. Before working full-time in the church, she was a nanny, taught in Montessori schools, and was the administrator of a pro-life pregnancy resource center. She received her Bachelor's of Science from EMU with a double major in psychology and communications. In addition to her work at St. Mary, she is pursuing a Master's in Pastoral Studies degree at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. When she's not working, she loves to spend time with her family, friends, enjoy nature, read, and go swing dancing. We'll be talking with her about the Light Parade, the Our Lady of Guadalupe apparition, how it ties to the Advent theme of light. Christy's also will give a short explanation of the apparition for those who aren't familiar with it. I read a little bit, but she'll elaborate on it. And did you know that the black belt signifies that Our Lady is pregnant? Just a little tidbit. Fun fact here. It is approaching 9 minutes past the hour here in Epiphany. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of Epiphany, on this Tuesday afternoon during our lovely Advent season on a sunny, sunny fall. I think it's still considered fall. I think first day of winter is December 21st, so this technically this fall afternoon. We have to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Stay with us, everyone.
K-Rouse Jewelry has made it their mission to provide custom jewelry at unbeatable prices. As a master diamond setter with 45 years of experience, Tony K. Ruse will create the perfect engagement ring, anniversary gift, or even do complex repairs at a fraction of the cost. Visit K. Ruse Jewelry at 504 Main Street in Belleville next to T-Mobile or call 734-444-2323. That's 734-444-2323.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Everything in the Bible and in the Catholic Church starts with the book of Genesis. It reveals to us God's plan for mankind. Yet Genesis can be daunting, especially given the scientific discoveries of the last few centuries. Well, that's where I come in with my new book, Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. Discover a thoroughly Catholic approach to this exciting and dramatic ancient narrative that is so often misunderstood. You can get the book now on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. Check it out.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Did you know that a princess helped introduce St. Nicholas to the Western world? This happened in the year 972 when Princess Theophano, the niece of Emperor John of Constantinople, brought a mosaic icon of yours truly, St. Nicholas, to Rome as a wedding gift to her husband-to-be, Otto II, the future emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. After their royal wedding mass celebrated by Pope John XIII in the old St. Peter's Basilica, Princess Theophano became the Lady Di of her age. Suddenly, everything she did, including her love of St. Nicholas, seemed to be copied by everyone. In fact, besides me, there's one more thing she introduced to the Western world that you'll use during your meal this Christmas. The dinner fork. So as we raise our dinner forks this Christmas, let's remember the royal princess who worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we proclaim Christ is born, glorify him.
Our next guest, Sister Mary Sarah Macht, is a board-certified family nurse practitioner. She's joining us here in Epiphany to talk with us about the Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. How are you, Sister? Happy Advent season to you.
Happy Advent, Vanessa. How are you?
Good. A pleasure talking with you here. And
thank you
for sharing with us the story about the Sacred Heart Mercy Health Center. Tell us, give us a background about Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center.
Yeah. So our community, the Religious Sisters of Mercy of Alma, Michigan, so we're located in the heart of Michigan in Alma, was refounded out of the larger Sister of Mercies in the 1970s. Actually, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary jubilee this year. And at that time, you know, it was just after Roe versus Wade had occurred. And historically, Sisters of Mercy have been in healthcare and education and educated very highly for the service of the church. And at that time, it became clear that, at least for us, the future would be probably in smaller clinics rather than in hospitals. But we knew that in order to do that, we would need to have physicians educated as well as nurses. And so that began a path of sisters being educated primarily as physicians at first, although they were typically nurses to start with. And then so our first physicians came together in Alma, where our mother house is, in the early 1980s, and that was the beginning of the foundation of this clinic. We're now at a different location than where they started, but people from this county and the county surrounding it will remember that we had Dr. Jane Firestone here for many years as internal medicine, as well as other sisters who have served in a lot of different capacities. And so now we have another generation of sister physicians and nurse practitioners and nurses serving at the clinic, really trying to extend that healing presence of Christ through our vow of service to the poor, sick, and ignorant.
Mm. What led you to this work in ministry? I know you have a background in nursing, but what led you? Tell us about your story, Sister.
Yeah, so for us, you know, as religious women, we're really called into a particular dimension of obedience, being more and more configured to Christ. And so for a Sister of Mercy, often that comes in the form of a particular assignment. And in my case, although I had been interested in politics and medicine before I was a sister, I had actually studied political science. And then when I became a Sister of Mercy, it was seen that I had gifts in nursing and in caring for people. And so I was asked to study nursing. And then over the years, I was able to study for my master's degree and become a nurse practitioner. So for us, it's always a call of obedience, mm-hmm. obedience to the will of the Father. But it's also looking at, you know, what has God given this person in terms of gifts? So grace building on nature. And that's not to say that the sisters' interests aren't taken into account, but it's primarily what is the need of the church and how can this person's gifts be developed in the way that God wants them to be, so that she can be an instrument of His mercy.
So, in terms of the healthcare focused on the family, you know, and from a Catholic perspective, you know, I understand you're growing or expanding the center more. I mean, can you tell us more about that, and what kind of collaboration could you use from people listening?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. So, I would say for the last many years, the there are internal medicine services available through our clinic, as well as some behavioral health. But the opportunity has really come up in the last several years to particularly focus in on the care of women and families. And so we have Sister Marie Paul Lockard, who is a physician, who is seeing patients in person at our clinic, and she's trained in NAPRO and Creighton methods of women's care and natural family planning, or we say fertility-based, awareness-based methods of family planning. And I am certified in something called fertility education and medical management, so I can speak to FEM a little better than the other. But basically, what we know from speaking with women from all walks of life and all religious backgrounds is that when they have a problem with their cycle or a problem conceiving, you know, there are very few good options from a Catholic standpoint for treating those things. You know, often if a woman has a problem with her cycle, either they're irregular or she bleeds too heavy or she's having a lot of pain, the answer is an oral contraceptive pill,
sure,
or an IUD, almost
mm-hmm.
across the board, as though nothing mm-hmm. else exists. And what FEM really tries to do is look at, okay, ovulation as a fifth vital sign for women. It takes many hormones working and being produced in just the right amount for ovulation to occur. And so if a woman is in the stage of her life along the ovarian continuum when she's supposed to be ovulating and she's not, there is a problem. And if we can understand where that problem is, we can treat that and we can restore her health. And so that's kind of the premise of FEM.
Mm.
And that can lead that, and that's regardless of fertility goals. You know, that
yeah.
could be for the spacing of children. That could be for trying to conceive a child. And for couples who are trying to conceive a child, my experience, at least so far, and I'll admit it's somewhat limited, is that, you know, the answer is IVF without a lot of medical workup, and that's just not right for a lot of reasons. Obviously, the concern about conception happening outside of the body, outside of marriage, but also, and the creation of embryos and things like that. But also, just it's poor medicine. You know, we're not really looking at what the problem is and trying to restore health for the woman. And so under this, these services for women, we can look at a lot of different things that are going on that can really impact not only their health but their quality of life and to help really restore those things.
Hmm. So, Sister, you also wrote, Sister Mary Sarah Amactis, who we're talking to here on Epiphany, you wrote an article, The Challenge and Opportunity of Genome Editing, Scientific and Ethical Considerations. Can you elaborate on that for us? Can you give us an overview?
Oh, that's a tough question. So one thing that the clinic does every year is we have a St. Luke's lecture series. And last year we brought in Dr. William Hurlbut from Stanford, who is a world expert in CRISPR technologies. And so really looking at, you know, where are the ethical concerns with the use of gene editing technology. And so that's what he came to speak on, and that's what we were promoting during that time, was to really look at that. Because what we've learned, sunset time is, I think they actually, just the other day, the FDA approved a medication to cure sickle cell anemia. Now, it's expensive, but that utilizes CRISPR technology. So there are good and legitimate uses for patients that aren't ethically problematic or morally problematic. But the question comes down to, you know, do you use that technology to edit germline cells, so sperm and eggs, so actually touching the human genome itself? And I am not an expert on CRISPR, but there are obviously serious ethical qualities. And then also, you know, the very early stages of life for an embryo to gene edit, because once you edit, you know, at a very early stage, then all of that, all of the subsequent cells would carry that edit, or that you could say mutation as well. So, and there's a lot we don't know. Part of the concern is that in order to do the research to know is that it would take experimentation on a lot of human embryos. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the big concerns. But
yeah.
there are undoubtedly very legitimate ways that we can use some of this technology to restore sight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing to really treat and cure sickle cell anemia, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm. You know, on that note, it kind of reminds me a little bit, and I just want to touch upon this. I know this is not what we were going to talk about specifically, but, you know, in vitro fertilization and where the Catholic mm-hmm. Church stands on that because of people having fertility issues, and you do help women with fertility issues. Can you explain for people listening why the Catholic Church does not support IVF?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to speak too far afield, but there are a number of problems. But one is that conception is now taking place outside of the human body, so they have to often overstimulate the ovaries. They harvest the eggs. Those eggs are either frozen or conception happens outside of the body, and then that early human person is then placed back into the womb. So right there, there's a manipulation of the basic, you could say, the elements of human life. And the respect that is due not only to marriage and the sexual act, but it's an abuse, you could say, of that power and the mystery of that. So there's something inherently disordered about that in itself. But there are other problems, you know, and they're serious. So this comes down to often when, you know, when they harvest these eggs and they go ahead and allow fertilization to occur, and sometimes that's done by piercing the egg with like a pipette and sperm is inserted then, there's the creation of extra embryos. So those embryos end up being frozen and often discarded. So you basically have the starting of new human lives that are just being held kind of as just material for the use that we deem of value, you know. And so it's a very serious morally problematic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you talk to couples who are trying to conceive and going through that, it's a very hard process. I have a couple that I'm working with, and most of their experience around it has been very troubling in terms of the lack of medical workup, the manipulation of their marriage, you know, many, many things. So what we want to try to do is look at where the health problems are, address them, legitimately optimize fertility for both partners in the couple, the married couple, to allow fertility conception to occur naturally. And there are ways that can be done licitly, obviously, within the Catholic context. So that would be the goal. Now, there will be people who are infertile. That does happen. And then that's a way of being able to help them accept that and work with that. But until we've done everything else that's appropriate, we should not be, going that direction. So it's really an emphasis on restorative reproductive health and natural family planning.
We're talking with Sister Mary Sarah here today on Epiphany. And another article that you penned, Sister, I want to touch upon is brain death. Could the whole medical legal establishment have been wrong for 55 years, you write? So give us an overview of this.
Yeah. So I'm basically picking up on a talk that we had, or part of our lecture series for the St. Luke series with Dr. Joe Ebley from Tulsa. And Dr. Ebley has been a herald on this topic. When you work in medicine, you hear the word, oh, this person is brain dead, and it begins to take on a kind of life of its own. And Dr. Ebley just did a phenomenal job of demonstrating, you could say from a philosophical standpoint, but just logically, that clearly people who are, quote, brain dead are not actually, in fact, dead in the sense that, first, from like a theological standpoint, like the soul and the body are still there, because clearly the integration of the body is still there, and that's done by the soul. But he also uses soul in the sense of not from a Christian standpoint, but simply as an integrating principle that allows the whole body to continue to function in an integrated way. And we know that can't be the brain because of different cases where there's truly where they've been able to show that there are these different phenomena that happen where there isn't brain function, but the person's clearly not dead. Now, admittedly, they are very injured neurologically. Sometimes they are in the process of dying, but they're not dead. And what it comes down to really is the availability of organs for transplantation, and that's why there's such a push to say, okay, this person is brain dead, and therefore they would want us to or we can use those organs.
Yeah.
And as it is functionally now, there are tissue transplants that are can be done from cadavers and have that be successful and functional afterwards, but not really organs. And so that is, you know, a bit about what Dr. Ebley presented on. And I would just encourage people to go on to YouTube. There are a number of interviews and things like that there. Our presentation is also available on the Central Michigan University website. If you go to our website, which is sacredheartmercy.org, you can find that. And from the article on brain death, you can find the link to be able to watch the presentation. But it was really excellent. And we were able to have that presentation in a number of locations around Central Michigan.
Wow, that's interesting. Sister Mary Sarah, what else do you want to share with our listeners here on Epiphany that I didn't ask you?
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me that question. Basically, we want to let people know that Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center is committed to comprehensive healthcare, which is the care of the whole person. We accept patients regardless of ability to pay. We work with them in terms of what their financial needs are, even to being able to write off their care. But we do have a process for that. We are committed to trying to extend the presence of Christ, who is with us here in our chapel, to anyone who comes through the doors. And I know that, you know, in this area, although it's rural, there are other sources for medical care. People could go other places. And people from diverse backgrounds and walks of life and from long distances sometimes select to come here. And I know that that's part of God's mysterious plan of working out their salvation as well. After COVID, it is possible to do telemedicine visits, so we're really open for anyone in Michigan by licensure. So we're happy to work with that. Sometimes we'll have people come into the clinic the first time to be seen. But we are definitely accepting patients for internal medicine, so adults who need primary care, and then people who are looking for this kind of specialized women's care, which I know is a desperate need across the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sister, I'd like to ask guests, too, about how they take their faith to work, you know, faith at work. It's a little segment we do, and it's faith at work in our lives when we take faith to work with us every day. Can you elaborate on that, how you and everyone at the clinic takes faith to work every day?
Yeah. So, I mean, as religious sisters, we wear a habit, and so that is a visible witness to Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives and his mercy. And when you walk into Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center, I know this from even other Catholic physicians, although we're not rich, we try to have a very beautiful and uplifting environment with the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. And so there is a chapel where people can come to just be quiet and to pray with the Lord. We witness to those the meaning of the dignity of the human person. We're not perfect, but we're always striving to do that more and more. And so I would say that's how we take our faith to work. But we're also in a faith-based place. That's also ours. So hopefully it's expressive of the charism of the Sisters of Mercy and of Mother Catherine McCauley.
I love it. Sister, thank you so much for being with us. Do you want to give out your website one more time?
Yes, if you're interested, it's www.sacredheartmercy.org. And there's all kinds of information there, including a blog where you can find the information about the previous St. Luke's topics. We are on Facebook. But we're welcome if people want to call and just get more information. But we're really pleased to be able to serve the church and to be able to serve our patients in Michigan.
Sister, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany and sharing with us your story from Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. Sister Mary Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vanessa. God bless you. Have a good Advent.
You too. God bless you and happy Advent season to you. Sister Mary Sarah Mock, she's from Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. You can reach out to them by going to their website. We'll put this information and all the links to the articles that we shared here with Sister in the Epiphany Archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Stay with us, everyone. We have to take a break. When we come back, Christy Whiting will be joining us. She's the Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish in Williamston. We'll be talking with her about many things, including the Our Lady of Guadalupe apparition and how it ties to the Advent theme of light. We'll be right back.
Advent is upon us, and you're invited for a night of faith and fellowship Tuesday, December 19th at 6:30 p.m. at St. John's Resort in Plymouth, Michigan. After the Rosary, Reverend Rennie Kaufman and his daughter Esther will perform their five-language repertoire that runs from Broadway to Motown to the Christmas season. No registration is required, and for more information, email jack.krasula, K-R-A-S-U-L-A, at trustinus.com. God bless.
Hi, Vanessa Denha-Garmo here, host of Epiphany. It's our end of the year campaign, and your support is so important to help us in this ministry. We're called to evangelize the faith. By supporting Ave Maria Radio, you become partners with us in the work of evangelization. Together, we share the gospel daily on 400 radio affiliates, Sirius Satellite Radio, and a host of digital platforms. We have launched a new programming, expanding our social media presence, and built new stations with more to come. Your support helps us increase our outreach. Daily, we'll display our progress in reaching our goal at AveMariaRadio.net. In this world of chaos and confusion, people seek clarity, and we offer that by sharing Christ with our listeners. We're able to share interviews and commentaries from our guests that show us how to connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Donate Now slider.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Welcome back. It is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're going to be talking about that and so much more with our next guest, Christy Whiting, Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish in Williamston near Lansing. Christy, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany this with Tuesday afternoon.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me back.
So, welcome. I'm happy to have you back. So, tell us a little bit about St. Mary Parish for our listeners today. What do you want to share with them about the parish itself?
St. Mary Parish is it's over 100 years old. It's been in the little town of Williamston outside of Lansing. Little town, and there are about 4,000 people here, but we have a beautiful, devout congregation that has been working really hard to try to witness God's love to our community. And so this past, the first weekend of December, we had a very special event to invite the whole community, the whole city, to our parish. The first Saturday of every December, our city has a light parade with as many floats as possible, just decked out in Christmas lights and Christmas caroling and all kinds of fun and celebration. And our parish is located about a block north from where the parade ends. Put a float in the parade. And the float has a nativity on it. This year we had, it looked like stained glass windows, but it was a cloth with the nativity scene drawn out in a stained glass style. And we had it backlit. And we had some children dressed as little angels all around it. And then walking with the float, we had a number of families who were handing out candles and cards to everybody along the way, inviting them to come back to St. Mary's after the parade. We have our afterglow celebration with bonfires and warm cookies and hot chocolate, and we invite people to come into the church to light a candle. So for a lot of people, if they don't come regularly to church, or maybe this is their first time in the church, it's a very easy, very welcoming way to bring them over that threshold, to be able to welcome them in. And the whole church is candlelit. We have an empty manger placed up at the front of the church by the main altar, just in front of the altar. And we invite them to write down their prayer intentions and to light a candle and bring up their prayer intentions to put in the empty manger for baby Jesus. And then they put their candles next to the altar. And we have a couple of young women with angelic voices who are singing very prayerful Christmas carols with kind of an Advent theme. And people just come and stay and soak in the peace and the beauty, and they get a real encounter with Jesus and with the love of the community.
I love it. That's so beautiful. So today is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe and her apparition. How does this tie into the Advent theme? And what do you want people listening to know about this feast day today, Christy?
Well, I think for those who aren't familiar with the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, she appeared to a Native American Aztec Indian named Juan Diego back in 1531 in the area that is now Mexico City. And at that time, the Aztec culture had worshipped a sun god, and there was a moon god, and the Spanish conquistadors had come and they and their priests were talking about Jesus, but there was a culture clash, and part of the clash was that the Aztecs believed they had to offer human sacrifices to their sun god in order to keep the sun appearing. And obviously the Catholics and the Spaniards were saying, no, you can't do this. And so the Aztecs were terrified that the world was going to end and they were doomed. And then Mary appeared to an Aztec Indian who was a very humble peasant man and asked him to go to the bishop, to the Spanish bishop, and ask him to build a place of worship on what is Tepeyac Hill. And the bishop asked him to bring back a sign that this was actually real, this was from God. And so when Juan Diego saw Our Lady of Guadalupe again and asked for a sign, she told him to go up the mountain in winter to pick the roses there. It didn't make sense for there to be roses in winter, but there were. And so Juan Diego picked them and wrapped them in his mantle, which was called a tilma, and brought those back to the priest. And when he laid them before the bishop, spilling them out of his tilma, there was an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe on the tilma. This image has lasted for almost 500 years since that event. Normally, the tilma, which was made of cactus fibers, would have disintegrated, you know, somewhere between 10 and 30 years after it was worn. But it has lasted for 500 years, and the image is bright and beautiful. And those roses were from the very region in Spain where the bishop had come from. So he knew this had to be miraculous.
Wow.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a beautiful story. I love it. I love it in her outfit that has been depicted. It's so beautiful. My husband and I were just reading about the saint, this feast day today, Christy, and he said that's definitely going to be on our bucket list to visit. I said, for sure. We're talking with Christy Whiting today, Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish in Williamston. And we're talking about the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the apparition. And how does this tie into the Advent theme of light? Tell us, elaborate more on that for us as we celebrate the Advent season.
Sure. Well, one of the most notable things about the apparition is that Mary is standing in front of the sun with the rays of light coming out around her. And this symbolizes that there is one greater than the sun god that the Aztecs worship. Mary actually has a little brooch at her throat with a cross on it, a cross like the ones that the conquistadors had. Prayer pointing up at the cross, indicating that there is one, she's not greater than the sun, but there is one who is greater than the sun, greater than all gods, her son Jesus, and that we are to worship him as she represents him. And she's standing on the moon, which represents that she is crushing the moon god that the Aztecs worshipped, that the god Jesus, whom she worships, is infinitely greater. And I think you mentioned at the beginning that the black belt over her belly, or black ribbon, symbolizes her pregnancy, and that and many other features of her attire and of the whole image of Our Lady of Guadalupe tie to poems and prophecies of the Aztec culture that show that she was representing one who is the fulfillment of their desires, the one who is the fulfillment of every human desire, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And one of the remarkable things that happened after her apparition was that in the next 10 years or so, there are estimates that up to 10 million of the indigenous people there converted to Catholicism because of her appearance, and they stopped the human sacrifices. And so because that light, Jesus, had come to them, they no longer needed to rely on what they had in the darkness. And this is a huge inspiration for us today, too, especially in all the darkness of our culture and all the offenses sure. against life. We can ask Our Lady of Guadalupe to intercede for us, to help us to become a culture of light, and to help us to let Jesus's light to shine through us.
That's so beautiful. I love it. I just want to mention to our listeners that you guys have beautiful pictures of the light parade afterglow celebration on your Facebook page, St. Mary Catholic Church Williamston. It's so they're so beautiful, I have to tell you. I really love these pictures.
Thank you. We had a lot of fun with it. We tell our parishioners this is one of the most fun ways to evangelize ever. You
yeah.
go out and invite people to a big party.
Yeah. You know, I love that point. Can you talk to us a little? Let's elaborate on a little bit on that. You know, sometimes people think evangelizing is so complicated, so hard, or I can't do it. Sometimes it just takes, and I talk about this all the time, an invitation, Christy, to an event like this, you know, or another event. Can you kind of elaborate on that because of the work that you do, that evangelization doesn't have to be intimidating?
No, it doesn't. I think we have a stereotypical image in our head of somebody out on the street corner standing in a milk crate preaching. And that's one very, you know, one way of doing it. But actually, it's very uncommon, too. What God usually does is just work through the lives he's called us to and the relationships with the people that he's called us to strike up conversations or invitations. And there are many stages of evangelization, too. So it could start with just simply what we did was an invitation to come and see at the mm-hmm. church. And really what we were doing was trying to build a bridge of trust with the community where they can experience God's love through us and know that this is a place of welcome, that they can come and eventually, if they have questions, they can come and ask questions. They can learn more about God. We'll come mm-hmm. here. And it's not till many steps down the road, really, that people start asking a lot of in-depth questions where you need more apologetics. Evangelization, there are five steps that well-known author Sherry Waddell puts out. It starts with trust, which is building any connection where they don't have to trust in God necessarily, but they trust that maybe the church is a place where they can find peace, or in this case, there was the joy of being with friends and neighbors. And then after that, hopefully there comes an openness to, you know, oh, maybe there's something good here. And then they begin to get curious, and then they start seeking out. And then after that, they eventually hopefully become a disciple. But we can reach out to people at all various stages, and that is evangelization. It's giving God's love to the people around us, and specifically when possible, you know, talking about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for this. So we incorporate Jesus very clearly into the event. And our pastor even gave a welcome and invited people to Christmas masses as well as just to enjoy the evening so they know that they're welcome back.
Hmm. I love that. We're talking with Christy Whiting, Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish in Williamston. Christy, tell us, I read your bio earlier, but just kind of give our listeners an overview of what led you to this ministry.
Oh, wow. It's a long story, but the nutshell version is when I was 12, I had God gave me the gift of a very profound experience of his presence and his love. And that conversion experience really just changed my life. I had been, my parents had raised me Catholic. We were going to Mass regularly, but I didn't know that, it hadn't sunk in for me that God was really real and cared for me personally. And I just fell in love with him. And he has been a big part of my life ever since. I started praying regularly and reading scripture, and I was excited to go to Mass because there he was in the Eucharist right there for me. And that floored me. Still does. And I think you, when you experience love like that, like how can you not tell other people? It's what we all need in our lives. We all have that place of knowing that, you know, deep down, you know, we're nothing on our own. We are broken. We have our faults. But there is one who loves us in the middle of it. He loves us as we are. And because we are in need of a Savior, he delights to save us. He delights to come. And so really over the years, I've been involved with a lot of different forms of ministry, from serving in a pregnancy resource center to high school and campus ministry. My last role, I was leading a charismatic praise and worship event and classes on how to listen to the Holy Spirit and use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's so much that our God has for us. It's when we sit and think about, like, the immensity of who the Holy Spirit is and that he lives inside of us through our baptism and confirmation, the amazing things that he can do through us if we allow him to, and if we allow his light to shine through us, it's mind-blowing, and it's a great adventure. So if my story can be just an encouragement to anybody who's kind of on the fence about, you know, saying yes to Jesus, like, it's really amazing. It is a life of joy and peace, and it's not easy. It's a cross, but I've experienced that, and I've seen so many other people experience the blessing of it too. So we want people to know he's there for us.
Amen. Christy, what else do you want to share with our listeners here on Epiphany before we let you go?
Just an encouragement to really ask the Holy Spirit what he has for you this season of Advent in preparation for Christmas. Just to continue to prepare your heart and maybe to ask him what he wants to say to you about his light. How does he want to shine his light through you so that others will know who Jesus is and experience his love?
Mm. Thank you so much, Christy, for being on Epiphany. And once again, we'd love to hear back from you as we head into a new year. Happy Advent. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Same to you and to your listeners.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, and we're going to wrap up today's Epiphany on this Tuesday afternoon with a more reflection on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe from Catholic Daily Reflections. We'll be right back after this.
Beckway Door is a top provider of garage doors as well as home entry, patio, and storm doors. Locally owned since 1978, we give free, no-pressure quotes at prices 20% lower than most competitors, and often provide same-day service for garage door repairs. Mention Ave Maria Radio for 10% off the replacement or service of your garage door or the installation of new exterior doors. Visit BeckwayDoor.com. That's BeckwayDoor.com.
It's been 9 presidential elections that I've been on the air, and I've been watching Christians engage the culture around us. And almost every campaign year, candidates urge us to take back America. This is about as tired a phrase as you can find. And yet, with each election, the command to take back America reappears. We seem to think that America's problem that we have to correct is go back to a different idea of the budget, or a different foreign policy, or new regulatory reform. I'd argue that America's biggest problem is this act of idolatry that has allowed us to turn the emphasis on ordered liberty into a preoccupation with personal and individual autonomy. I'd go further and say that any attempt to take back America or make America great again that does not attack the idolatry of individual autonomy is doomed to failure.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria,
so much decorating, so many lights to put up. It is the ancient iconography of the church, even one painted by our Blessed Mother herself, that will explain our need for imagery.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." This is from the Gospel of Luke, and we're looking at a reflection today on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, tied into this Gospel reading. Today we celebrate 5 successive apparitions of our Blessed Mother to Juan Diego, who was an Indian convert to the faith. And this is from Catholic Daily Reflections. Early in the morning of December 9th, 1531, Juan was traveling to a town where he intended to attend a catechism class and the Holy Mass. However, on his way, as he passed by the hill, he was gifted by the vision of a bright light and heavenly music. As he gazed upward with wonder and awe, he heard a beautiful voice calling him. As he moved toward the voice, he saw the glorious Mother of God standing in youthful appearance and heavenly splendor. She said to him, "I am your merciful mother." She further revealed to him that she wanted a church built on that hill, and that Juan was to go and tell this to the Bishop of Mexico City, a church built on that spot he was at. Juan did as Our Lady asked, but the bishop was reluctant to believe him. But once again, the Mother of God appeared to Juan and asked him to return to the bishop with her request. This time the bishop asked for a sign, and Juan reported this to Mother of God. She said a sign would be provided, but Juan was prevented from receiving that sign since he needed to attend to his sick uncle. However, after 2 days, on December 12, 1531, Juan was once again traveling to the church to ask the priest to come and attend to his dying uncle. But this time Juan had taken a different route so as to avoid delay from his heavenly visitor. But this time our Blessed Mother came to him and said, "It is well, littlest and dearest of my sons, but now listen to me. Do not let anything afflict you, and be not afraid of illness or pain. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Are you not in the crossing of my arms? Is there anything else you need? Do not fear, for your uncle is not going to die. Be assured he's already well." As soon as Juan heard this from our Heavenly Mother, he was overjoyed and asked for a sign to give to the bishop. The Mother of God directed him to the top of the hill, where he would find many flowers that were in bloom completely out of season, because it was winter. Juan did as she said, and upon finding the flowers, he cut them and filled his outer cloak, his tilma, with them so he could bring them to the bishop as the sign requested. Juan then made his way back to Bishop Fray Juan de Zumarraga, the Bishop of Mexico City, to present him with the flowers. To the surprise of all, he opened his tilma to pour forth the flowers. There appeared on his tilma the image of the very woman who had appeared to him. The image was not painted. Rather, every thread of the simple and coarse cloak had changed color to create the beautiful image. That same day, our Blessed Mother had also appeared to Juan's uncle and miraculously cured him. Though these miraculous events have become embedded into the fabric of Mexican culture, the message is far more than cultural in significance. "I am your merciful mother," she said. "It is our Blessed Mother's deepest desire that all of us come to her and know her as our mother. She wants to walk with us through these joys and sorrows of life as a loving mother would. She wants to teach us, to lead us, and to reveal to us the merciful love of her divine Son." So let's reflect today upon this miraculous actions of the Mother of God, but reflect especially upon her motherly love. Her love is a pure mercy, a gift of the deepest care and compassion. Her only desire is our holiness. Speak to her this day and invite her to come to you as our merciful mother. So let's pray. "My most merciful mother, I love you and invite you to pour forth upon me your love. I turn to you this day in my need, and I trust that you will bring me the abundant grace of your Son, Jesus. Mother Mary, O Virgin of Guadalupe, pray for us who turn to you in our need. Saint Juan Diego, pray for us. Jesus, I trust in you." Let's really pray and meditate on Mother Mary today and her apparition to Juan Diego and what the Lord is calling, what the Lord is putting on your heart, how Mary wants to build a relationship with you. I want to thank our guest today for joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you to Sister Mary Sarah Macht from Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center for sharing with us their story, and to a returning guest of Epiphany, Christy Whiting, Director of Discipleship and Evangelization at St. Mary Parish in Williamston. Information on both these guests will be in the archive section of Epiphany on this date at AveMariaRadio.net. And I really encourage you, if you missed any interview, if you want to re-listen to an interview, if you want more information about these interviews, we'll share links that we talk about here. There's several articles that Sister shared with us today. We'll put that in the archive section, links to their websites. Same with Christy Whiting. We'll share links to the Facebook page of the pictures. It's all in the archive section. It's a great place to go after the interview. You don't have to write anything down. Everything is there for you, so you can follow up. And because we really encourage you to connect, communicate, and collaborate. Maybe the Lord is putting on your heart a way to connect, communicate, and collaborate with the guests that we share with you here on Ave Maria Radio on Epiphany every single day. You can also connect with me on a regular basis at any of my social media platforms, Vanessa Denha Garmo. I'm on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, well, X Twitter. And then I'm also Epiphany Communications. My company is on Facebook. And Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha Garmo on Facebook. That's my public page. You can follow me on that public page as well. I like to stay connected with all of you. You can also register for my newsletter at epiphanycommunications.com to get up-to-date communication and coaching tips and team-building tips and Christian coaching tips that will help you, and goal-setting tips as well. Goal-setting tips. I'll be sending out some goal-setting tips as well as we head into the new year as you try to create goals for 2024. Tomorrow, we'll be having a couple guests joining us. It is Parish of the Week Wednesday, so we'll be talking with Father Nate Harburg from Good Shepherd. We'll be joining us for Parish of the Week Wednesday. And then also joining us tomorrow will be Carrie Tarrant. She'll give us some unique ways to help us prepare for Christmas. This is the Advent season. It's a time of preparation as we lead into Christmas Day, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how are we spending the last few days leading up to Christmas? I think we have 12, 13 days left until Christmas. So it's not just about shopping. It's really about preparing for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you all for tuning in here on Epiphany on this Tuesday afternoon on this Advent season. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next is our own Dr. Ray.